child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnel Doré, and joining me on this Christmas Eve is our co-host, Elaine Durbach. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Arnel. Merry Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Merry Christmas Eve. Naturalistic Support is a unique approach to lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. On Naturalistic Support, we help each other, combining a progressive understanding of our human experience with peer support. So that involves you calling us to talk about yourselves, as well as to talk to each other. Our number is 212-209-2877. And today, we'll be talking about how we're all getting through the holidays, which, for many people, can be a stressful and sometimes lonely time of year. Each year in America, the way Christmas is rolled out, with so many perfect holiday images bombarding us, it can make otherwise happy people feel insecure and lonely. And this is particularly true if you live alone. Call us at 212-209-2877 to tell us about your holiday expectations, your disappointments, and most importantly, how you're coping with this potentially trying time. Our number again is 212-209-2877.
Shall I pick up?
Yeah, go right ahead, Elaine.
If you aren't personally facing the prospect of loneliness during the holidays, maybe you know someone who is. Maybe someone in your apartment building or on your block or in your neighborhood. Perhaps you've been supportive, maybe checking in on them. Call us. Tell us about it at 212-209-2877. And for many people, the arrival of the holidays reminds us of people and relationships that once gave us joy, that presently are no longer in our lives. Children grow up and sometimes move far away. Romantic relationships end. And as we get older, people we love pass away. And as with any painful loss, naturalistic humanism reminds us to try to remember that the misfortune of the loss we feel comes in direct proportion to the great good fortune of the original find. There are only two ways to avoid the deep pain of losing someone we love dearly. One involves dying first, not a great option if we recognize that this is the only life we get. The only other way to avoid the pain of losing someone we dearly love is to never have made that connection to begin with. I think most of us would agree that despite the pain of losing a precious relationship, never having had the joy of that relationship to begin with would be far worse.
Yeah, that's such an important point, Elaine. You know, it's when we do connect with someone in this world, I mean, it's such a gift, and it's so wonderful. And, you know, sometimes I find myself thinking, you know, my hoping and wanting these relationships to be forever is a little greedy, you know? I mean, it's
very natural.
Yeah, it's very natural. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, it's great fortune that we experience that kind of connection to another to begin with.
Yeah, I think it takes courage.
It does take courage. And part of the bravery is facing the fact that, like everything else, it's finite. It will have an end. You know, by, like, if it's a couple that are devoted to each other for a lifetime, one will see the death of the other.
Yeah, yeah. And they're the lucky ones.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, loss is painful, but it's part of, you know, it's inexorably part of the equation of the find and the joy of the find. But, you know, even recognizing that, if we're feeling truly alone, that recognition offers pretty limited comfort. I mean, it doesn't take away your sadness. I mean, you could intellectually recognize that, okay, I was lucky to have found this person to begin with, but if you're feeling lonely, it's not going to make you not feel lonely.
But you're definitely not alone in being lonely.
Yeah, that's an ironic truth. The number of people who feel alone is also rising precipitously. Maybe you could share a little of the research with us, Elaine.
Yeah, sure. It's really kind of shocking. Yeah. The Surgeon General has classified loneliness as a public health epidemic.
Yeah, he uses the word epidemic. And this was a few years ago, and it's only gotten worse since.
I'm really shocked by these figures that you found. They're saying shrinking friendship circles. No, in 1990, only 3% of Americans reported having no close friends. By this year, by 2025, that number had risen to roughly 20%.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know, it's something like a 700% rise.
Yeah,
it's like amazing.
Yeah. And then people say they have fewer close confidants. The percentage of adults with at least 6 close friends dropped from nearly half in 1990 to about one quarter today. That's huge.
Yeah.
And in terms of safety nets, approximately 40% of Americans now report having at most one person they can depend on for emergency financial or personal help. We need to do better.
Yeah. And there's reduced community engagement, and that's a big factor. So they talk about this decline in what's known as third spaces, which are public or communal areas where people interact outside of work and home. There's been a decline in those kinds of places, and that's been the result of several things like civic participation. And surveys in 2025 show fewer adults attending religious services, which isn't always a bad thing, volunteering, which always is kind of not so good, participating in local community groups compared to 2018 and 2010. So just in those 15 to 7 years, big reduction in participation.
I suspect that COVID pushed that down also, that people got used to being isolated or cut off from some of those groups.
Yeah, I think COVID exacerbated some of the most harmful patterns that were already there, but definitely exacerbated it.
I get distressed about the, you know, I'm involved with the Ethical Culture Society, we've mentioned a few times, and our membership is down to almost half what it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, which is...
And I get very distressed about it because we're, you know, warm and wonderful group, and then I realize that the figures are parallel to every other group around us, almost all other groups.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, ethical culture is relatively a new player on the board. You know, the long-time organizations like churches that have been around for a couple of thousand years and synagogues are also experiencing this precipitous decline. Public socializing, in 2025, only about 50% of Americans regularly spent time in community spaces like parks or coffee shops, down from two-thirds in 2019. So
that's so huge.
Bad.
And I was just thinking, you know, we used to go out shopping, and now we sit at home with our computers and shop online.
Yep.
It's another source of isolation.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I go out for food shopping, but people are even doing food shopping from home.
Yeah. And some of it's wonderfully useful, but that what could be a fun interaction disappears.
Yeah.
You see the delivery person.
Yeah, and that's it. Our number is 212-209-2877, and we'd like to hear about how you're doing on this Christmas Eve. Are you expecting to feel lonely on Christmas? Have you been feeling lonely this holiday season? What's that been like for you? Or maybe you've been helping someone who otherwise would feel lonely. And maybe you've been there for someone and looking in on a neighbor or somebody who lives in your building or on your block. The number of single-person households has also doubled in the last 60 years. So that's
amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking.
We're seeing the other trend of young people not being able to get their own homes and living with their parents or doubling up, but not enough to counteract that figure.
Yeah, yeah. So you could imagine if... economics were even better and young people were able to afford their own homes, there'd be even more single person households. Speaking of young people aged 15 to 24 have experienced a 70% drop in spent time with in person with friends compared to previous decades.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah.
You know, people don't date as much as they used to.
Yeah.
I'm horrified when I talk to young people. I mean, the ones I'm talking to are friendly and they're sociable. But they don't, or to a much lesser extent, do they date other people. Go out, go to movies, or, you know, ask somebody out to go, play, you know, go bowling, or, you know, do something like that. They don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's that famous phrase, bowling alone.
Right. But on the other hand, they've got a lot of entertainment and a lot of things that they can do without going out.
Yeah, and even working, right? While convenient, the shift to remote and hybrid schedules has removed organic daily social interactions that had previously...
There's no more water cooler conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And even if there were... People would say, oh, did you catch that show last night? And 10 people would have watched 10 different shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The social interactions that previously occurred in offices, those aren't happening in the same way. And when they do happen, it's more the rarity. But it's really weird because we always think that, you know, it's the elderly who are lonely. But recent data from last year and this year shows that younger generations, like Gen Z, ages 18 to 24, actually are the ones who report the highest level of loneliness, with 57% feeling lonely.
That's a real shocker. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sure that it was older people who would be more isolated.
Yeah, well, apparently rates for older groups have begun to stabilize. I'm not really sure why, but that just is the statistic. Also, young men, one in four young men under 35 reported feeling lonely a lot of the previous day.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm assuming it wasn't a particularly bad day the previous day. It was a normal day. And this is a rate significantly higher than both women of the same age and peers in other wealthy nations. So Americans are suffering with loneliness as the former Surgeon General characterized it, on an epidemic level.
Yeah.
Middle-aged Americans are now demonstrating higher levels of loneliness than older adults, which is likely due to increased work stress and caregiving responsibilities. Again, you know, it's our crazy country's policies, institutional policies, that could make all the difference here. You know, child care is available in other wealthy nations. And increased work stress, well, the amount of hours people work in America are crazy long compared to most other wealthy nations.
Yeah, yeah. It's an odd one, because you hear people here talking so cynically about how lazy people are now compared to how they used to be. But they are not in America. People in America work very hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So medical research is now using loneliness as a measurable health metric. You know, as we've mentioned previously on this program, the mortality risk of social disconnection is now scientifically considered comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and is considered more dangerous than obesity or physical inactivity.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here I am thinking I'm doing everything I can for my health, watching what I eat, getting to the gym, but not as social as I should be, apparently.
You know, I remember seeing this in front of me. A very dear friend came to visit after COVID, and it was hard to have a conversation with her. She couldn't follow what was being said from the beginning of a sentence to the end of the sentence. Mm. And she said she knew that she was suffering, that she was distracted and depressed, and that it had come from this time of isolation. By the end of the day, you know, having been together and talking and chatting and walking and doing things, she was coming back to herself. But I thought, how many people spend all day alone and sink into that kind of slowed down, depressed physical state?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I assume the reason why we're not getting flooded with calls is because on this Wednesday, it is Christmas Eve, and probably you've got a lot of people who are running around like chickens without heads, trying to...
Maybe they're doing that shopping out there with all the other people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for what is
left...
But here
you sit at home.
Yeah.
And a microphone.
Yeah, that's... yeah, I'm missing the buzz of last-minute brick-and-mortar shopping, which I did none of this year. I just ordered everything online.
Yeah.
Which I think most people are doing. And, yeah, that used to be a thing. On Christmas Eve, you'd see all the other poor planners that that you'd be online with, holding some really, like, picked-over piece of merchandise
yes.
that is going to be, like, most likely returned. But
do you remember the parents trying to find Cabbage Patch Kids at the last minute?
Yeah, we're showing our age, but, yeah, that's that was kind of pathetic.
But things have changed, haven't they? I mean, even in our own lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, now, what is it? Labubu or something dolls, which are supposed to be...
You're, You've got these daughters. You stayed up on this stuff.
My daughters are in their 20s now. Well, my older daughter just turned 30, so they're not going to be chasing the boo-boos, hopefully. If they are,
but things changed for you, didn't they, with the divorce?
Yeah, you know, after my marriage ended, the holiday season really became a challenge for me, and I found one solution which helped a lot was doing this annual Christmas special that we're going to be doing tomorrow live from 3 to 5 p.m. But doing all the preparation for that was distracting, and that was a good way of dealing with it.
Yeah, it's a pretty constructive way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, not that I don't enjoy doing the work, but it's a lot of work. And to really do it well, it's distracting. But we have a caller on the line, Elaine.
Yay.
Yeah, so let's
can I welcome them?
Yeah, please.
Hi, this is WBAI, and you're on the air. Who's calling, and where are you calling from?
Hello? This is WBAI. Hello? You're on the air. Hello?
Thank you. My name is Gabrielle. Do you hear me?
Yeah, Gabrielle.
Hi, yes. Gabrielle. Lovely name.
New York City. Thank you. I'm calling from New York City, Lower East Side. Exactly.
Oh, very nice.
What I like to say is that I am very experienced in this issue. I spent many, many, many Christmas by myself. But I also spent many Christmas with other people. But I've worked out a very good program, which is really helpful, and I could recommend to everybody. So every time every time when I have to do myself, what I do, and I do a great shopping for food. I buy my favorite food, and I make a great, great Christmas dinner, or whatever.
How great.
A great dinner, which is for a holiday. Absolutely everything I love. And then I cook it, and then I eat it. I have a glass of wine. And then after I get to a glass of wine, and I eat, and I'm very tired, slowly I fall asleep. And thank God the whole thing is over.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's brilliant.
You know, I've known a couple people who've done that. Yeah, that's great.
It's excellent. It's absolutely excellent. So
You don't have to make what somebody else wants. You can actually make what you love.
Yeah.
And you don't have to deal with five different people's mutually exclusive allergy problems. Yeah.
But it would still be nice to be with other people.
Yeah. Of
Gabrielle,
course,
do you find a way to go and be with other people if you want to see other faces?
Yes. But you see, there are people who are so difficult about when it comes to politics, because I love to talk about politics, right?
Uh-huh. You're in good company here.
Many people don't want to talk about politics, so now I got into the costume. Because I'm a senior, and when I go to the senior center, I meet new people, and I immediately go to them and say, hi, do you like to talk politics? He says, no.
You get right to it, Gabrielle.
Yes.
No wonder she's a WBAI audience member.
Yeah. You got the right radio station.
Oh, of course. I'm an old radio time WBAI person. I listened to this like 30 years or something.
Beautiful.
And I used to work there too. Okay, in the newsroom, I used to slice the tapes.
Ah. Okay.
You're one of us.
Yeah, I am a BAI person, definitely a diehard BAI person.
Gabrielle, thank you so much for your call. Love what you're doing. I hope your dinner is wonderful tomorrow. And call
great.
Us again.
Thank you very much. Okay.
All right. Merry Christmas. Bye bye. And we have another caller on the line, Elaine. Let's see. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi there. I hope I can be heard clearly.
Yeah, you can
Bob.
Be.
I'm calling from Nassau County on Long Island.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Say your name one more time.
Bob.
Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hi,
how
Bob.
Are you?
Bobby Kennedy. Bob.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It's a good name.
Yeah, you don't want to be Bobby Kennedy Jr., though. No.
The first part of the show, looking at all the factors that can contribute to the pandemic of loneliness. You know, all the different things that are contributing to it.
Yeah.
I realize these things, and it's almost inexhaustible, the amount of things that have happened, particularly since COVID, particularly
yeah.
since the onset of the new technologies that have kind of hijacked people's natural rhythms, neurological rhythms, and interrelationships.
Yeah.
I'm alone. I suddenly find myself to be not in late middle age, I guess. I'm not really sure. I'm in the suburbs where I'm not really connected to anything here. I used to live on the Lower East Side in Manhattan. That's where I felt connected.
You live near Gabriel.
All the other kind of misshapen, eccentric people. But now on Long Island, I'm alone. And I used to go to the movies. That was a place growing up Jewish, I learned how to compensate for not, participating in the holidays. So, I'd go to the movies by myself.
It was our tradition, Christmas Day.
And so you don't do that anymore, Bob?
Theater, which closed, unfortunately.
So
a lot of the things I do to get through are no longer there.
Yeah.
And,
you don't have a theater that you can get to anymore?
They're all closed down except for the gigantic plexes, which show kind of the garbagey superhero, Marvel
I hear you.
Ours have all closed too, although a couple of them are coming back.
To show, the independent foreign films, and it's closed down, of course, because, the death of communal places, the loss of communal places have just been eradicated. Even going shopping in person, even going to a doctor's office. Everything's virtual now. Everything's become virtualized. And, of course, this is part of the first part of what you were talking about. But what now, though? What now?
Yeah. I know. We're paying a big price. And I think part of it is we've got to recognize and identify the problem. That's the first step to, solving it. But you're right. That we know what the problem is. What now? How do we change this? And the problem with building a community is you got to have people that want to be in a community,
or even remember what it felt like to be in a community, because you have generations now who have no memory. Of doing things that were natural to me, but now what's natural to them is gaming and going to influencers on TikTok.
Yep.
Bob, may I ask you a personal question? Are you single?
I didn't hear. I think you said, am I single?
Are you single?
Yeah, I'm alone. I have no friends or family at this point. Everybody died. I'm dealing with, incredible amount of grief.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's so tough.
And also loss of the friendships that used to be nurturing to me.
Partly
the passage of time, partly being dislocated geographically and not being able to set up roots anywhere, partially not being able to catch up on all the things catch up on all the people I've lost, and trying to get my bearings, landing on my feet and trying to start again at an age where it seems like, the undertow of grief and loss and futility seems to be more of a powerful, dismotivating force than anything else. It's very, very hard.
Takes a lot of strength.
I guess there aren't churches or synagogues or some kind of place where you could find some community or why.
Well, yeah. I mean, where I am, it's very little community. If you're not part of, the way everybody's disenfranchised now, and everything's nuclear family oriented. And if you don't have kids, and you're not married. Living in a very conservative suburb is going to be very difficult for somebody who's a left of center punk rock kind of ex-punk rock kind of Lower East Side person.
It's hard.
Unitarian Church comes to mind. I tried to get in touch with them to see if they had any events going on, but
they're a great crowd.
Get any make any progress there.
What town in Nassau are you, Bob?
I'm in the kind of the South Shore, you know, close to Queens.
Right, right. Gotcha.
Much here,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah, I grew up in Elmont, so I kind of know where you are.
I live there, but I live close enough to you get the good pizza there. But then again, when you talk about Long Island, that's all there is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard, Bob. Bob, we got another call we got to get to, but hang in there, man.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead, Elaine.
As an old, wise old woman, when you're ready for it, Elaine, only when you're ready. Men your age, single men your age, are much in demand when you're ready for it.
She said that men your age are very much in demand when you're ready for it.
There has to be a venue. There has to be a sense of context, you know.
Yeah.
Online and then a pizza store.
I've become so traumatized by my isolation over a period of 10 years.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be the volume translator for you, Elaine. She said online or at a pizza store.
Well, first online and then a pizza place.
Oh, okay.
That's
so,
all you need.
Yeah, so, yeah. Bob, hang in there, and thank you for your call. Call us again.
Night, and I don't eat pizza anymore, you know.
Don't blame you. Don't blame you. It can be very toxic. Okay.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. We have one more caller, I believe. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, maybe we don't have another caller, which is okay. We actually have to take our halfway break, so let's do that, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Naturalistic Support
right here on 99.5
FM WBAI New York.
Non-commercial, listener sponsored
Peace and Justice Radio.
Little girl, why are you so sad? It's almost time for Christmas.
My family doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Oh, Jewish?
Uh-uh.
Muslim?
Uh-uh.
Buddhist?
Nope. My family doesn't practice any religion, and we don't believe in things that are supernatural.
But haven't they heard? There are many ways to enjoy and celebrate Christmas that are completely naturalistic.
Really?
Really! And this Christmas, they can learn all about having a perfectly wonderful naturalistic Christmas on Equal Time for Free Thoughts Naturalistic Christmas Special.
Naturalistic Christmas Special?
That's right!
When?
From 3 to 5 on Christmas Day.
3 to 5 Christmas Day!
Right here on 99.5 WBAI.
Just hear those noses sniffling, sore throats tickling too. Come on, it's lousy weather to be suffering inside with the flu. Outside the snow is falling, your fever's at 102. Let's take some Alka-Seltzer and a box of antihistamines, too. We'll bring some Kleenex with us and sing a chorus or two. Let's let my red nose lead us in a sleigh ride in spite of the flu.
Hack it up, lung it up, let's go. Fair chance in the snow. We're coughing up a yellow and green rainbow.
Cough it up, cough it up, cough it up. Oh man, there's some on my head. My glands are puffed and swollen in every hour I pee. My throat's as rough as leather and raspy as it can be. Let's take some Kleenex with us and sing a carol or two. We'll make our noses rather on a sleigh ride to go with the flu.
My kid came home from preschool with a cough,
today. He'll infect the whole darn neighborhood in about a day.
We'll be calling in sick to work until the diarrhea stops.
At the pharmacy, we'll get lots more pills to pop. Pop, pop, pop.
I took every medication I can legally buy.
The coughing, sneezing, sniffling, and the watery eyes.
I'll be getting real drunk on NyQuil. I'll take Contact till I'm high.
Whoa.
This wonderful buzz is great, but I'm glad I don't have to drive. Just hear those noses sniffling, sore throats tickling too. Come on, it's lousy weather to be suffering inside with the flu. Outside the snow is falling, your fever's at 102. Come on, it's lousy weather for a flu ride together with you.
Ba 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 da da.
That was terrible.
Yes, that was. Yeah, it's pretty awful, but good awful.
A special tribute to some of our friends who are currently suffering.
Yeah, my daughter came down with the flu this weekend, and she's hanging in, and promptly gave it to my other daughter and me.
Families share, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's a family thing. So, you know, Elaine, another way to deal with the holiday blues is to just decide to not celebrate and treat it like any other day. And I know that that works for some people. But with everything being closed, you know, pretending like the holiday is just like any other day can be challenging. For example, in my case, my gym that I would normally go to is closed, and so are all the stores where I shop. So it's
my wonderful diner.
Yeah.
It is closed on that day, and I'm glad for them, but wow, yeah, I'm lost without them.
Yeah. Listeners, tell us how you're dealing with the many feelings that this time of year evokes. We're at 212-209-2877. You know, feeling sad or lonely around this time of year is really okay. There's a tremendous pressure in our society to feel good all the time. And the mainstream message is that feeling good is just a matter of choice. We'll talk more about that, but we have another caller on the line right now, so let's take that. Go ahead, Elaine.
Okay, hi. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Hello?
Caller, speak up. We can't hear you. We hear some sound in the background, but it's not you. Please speak up.
Is it me?
I can hear you. You can barely can be heard. You got to speak up louder.
Is this any better?
Slightly. It's hard to hear you, my friend.
Practically yelling into my phone, and I have the volume up full.
Huh. Cannot explain that, can we, Reg?
All I can tell you is to call back again. Maybe it's a bad connection, but
yeah, try calling us right back. That's hard. So, as we were saying,
saying it's okay to feel sad or lonely. We're put under this pressure to be joyful and to feel it's our fault if we're not joyful.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, our whole society, like, everything's supposed to be just a matter of choice. And we could choose to feel good if we want. And according to that logic, if we don't feel good, we've only ourselves to blame. And, we've got a got a call again. Let's give it a try, see if this works. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
I'm the person that you were speaking to before, but you couldn't hear me. Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better.
Very good. Didn't do anything different.
Yeah, don't know. You know, sometimes it's a connection. Anyway, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I really would rather not say, because what I'm going to say is can be considered quite embarrassing.
Okay, then you're anonymous from an anonymous place. Anonymous.
Give us a name to call you by.
How about friend?
Okay. Hi, friend.
Yeah, friend. Go on, friend.
Very good. Yeah, I'm 81 years old, and for the last 46 Christmases, I've never gone anywhere. I simply stay at home. I watch TV. I'm vegan, so I eat the foods that I enjoy, and that's it. And I don't feel depressed about it. I've gotten used to being a shut-in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
Friend, what changed 46 years ago?
That was, I guess, sort of the final break between my father and my brother, because I guess my father got my brother to contribute with him toward my feeling less and less accepted.
You've made your own world, your own life.
Yes, and it's unusual in the sense that I used to be a DJ, and I had quite attractive letters from people that I did parties for. I did corporations, I did individuals, I even did a prom one time at the Waldorf Astoria in New York.
Wow.
New York scared the hell out of me, because I don't go into New York very much.
And the Waldorf is right at the heart of things.
So you were a very social guy.
Are you asking me, or are you stating?
No. It sounds like if you're a DJ, you've got to be hyper social, right? I mean,
that's
you
why
can't...
I mentioned this. It's an interesting contrast, because I always felt, while I was setting up my equipment, just hearing people be casual and just shooting the breeze, I felt like an alien from another planet, trying to understand how do they do that. They seem so relaxed.
And yet you provided the music.
I'd do the MC chores and stuff. I would do that in a high energy atmosphere, and then I would go home the 15 years that I was a DJ. So. But I enjoyed music and I enjoyed dancing. That was part of the reason that people hired me, because they enjoyed watching me dance behind my see-through sound system, which I built so that they could see the moves.
Cool.
Interesting.
So that's the only thing that would give others the impression that I'm outgoing. But I find it... I like communicating, but I feel I could be embarrassed. I don't...
Friend, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
Do you do the same thing on New Year's Eve that you do on Christmas?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I've never done anything
different. You provide your own pleasure, your own company, your own satisfaction.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it sounds like, you know, you've adapted in a way that a lot of people aspire to. I mean, you know, I would like to be as okay with my solitude as you seem to be, which is, you know, because you sound like you're truly okay.
That's very nice to hear that. Thank you.
It's inspiring. It absolutely is. I mean, you know, we do need more connection, more community, all that. But in lieu of having that, we have to learn to cope with the realities that we all face. And it sounds, friend, like you're doing a great job of it.
Thank you. Very good to hear that.
Yeah.
And you've just communicated with a few hundred or thousand people
who have been isolated, that maybe they wouldn't feel that it has to be an unpleasant experience.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why your call is very important. I thank you for it.
You're welcome.
All right. And keep on keeping on, my friend. All right. So, that's another way to cope is to actually cope, right?
Yeah, to do what suits you.
Yeah. And, we have so much pressure, you know, to conform. But, you know, I think that not everybody can make the choice not to feel sad, you know? I mean, while our last caller seemed to be able to deal with things extraordinarily well, not everybody has that. We've got another couple callers on the air, so let's try to get to that before we have to wrap up. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
This is Chris.
Who's calling?
This is Crystal.
Hey, Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
And I'm so lonely.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, actually, I'm not, because I'm used to, how can I say this? I've been self-sufficient all my life. I mean, I can remember in elementary school, the classmates taking me to buy me candy from the store. This is elementary. We're talking fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. So I've always been a leader. And when, as far as saying to you, sir, I'm in the street. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hello?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah. And so, and then I kind of just recently broke up with a very nice gentleman. I was with him for a long time, many years. But he said I don't love him no more, so he decided to
move. Oh, I'm sorry about that, Crystal. That's a hard adjustment.
And it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm really not alone, but this whole Christmas thing, Arnett.
Yeah.
I mean, I try not to tell people what to do. I don't do what you feel like doing. If you into this, into that, or whatever. But I feel that society was created in such a way, and it really excludes black people. Everything that's going on really, I mean, the snowmen are white. I'm trying not to be prejudiced.
I never thought of snowmen as white people, but I guess you have a point.
you said you guess I have a point?
I guess you have a point, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm so sick of the rubbish. And see, they make everything twinkly and sparkly. Well, how many carrots do you? The more carrots it twinkles, the most. They do all of that because they know it attracts the women and the children. Because the men like nice things too, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So they make everything sparkly and twinkly so that the women can be attracted. It's just a pain in the ass. But I will say this before hanging up. I'm more in the spirit this year than ever, Arnell.
Oh, okay, great.
How come?
Why?
I put the sickle lights. I like the way they sickle. So I put those up to my window. I wrapped a couple of gifts. I sent a couple of cards.
Good for you.
Good. Good for you, Crystal. Yeah. We got to get to the last caller. But thank you so much. And I'm glad that you're participating a little bit good for you, Crystal.
Yeah,
and call us again, and I hope tomorrow goes okay for you.
And come listen in at 3 p.m.
Yeah, listen in at 3 p.m. to our 2-hour Christmas special.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yay. Talk to you soon. And let's take our last call. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Melvin. I'm calling from New York City. Can you hear me?
Hey, Melvin. We hear you fine, Melvin.
Hi, I want to say happy holidays to everyone and to you all for hosting this. I think this is a very important topic. You're welcome. This is a very important topic. I wanted to say that one of the things about this time of the year is that here in New York, you know, the time goes fast, so it gets darker. And normally, like for me, when it gets darker, I get a little more gloomy. So one of the things that, between that and, you know, the holiday season, one of the things that help with me is meditation. The meditation helps me to, like, be able to, like, connect with myself and my ancestors and things of that nature. And the thing about people transitioning, I don't like to say dying because the spirit doesn't die. It just transitions from where it comes from. I lost my grandson and some other people transitioned. Time of the year is like the first time it's going to be without them. But I tell myself, like through meditation, I can feel their presence and their love. And I tell myself that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
Yeah, you're so right. And you know, Melvin, we also do a guided meditation on our Naturalistic Christmas special. It's tomorrow, starting at 3. So if you can, tune in. And with that, we have to leave it there, Melvin, because we're out of time. But thank you, and hang in there. All right. Call us again.
All right.
Well, that's about all we have time for, Elaine.
Oh, the calls were starting to come in. We've got great callers there.
Yeah, we great callers.
Some wise people.
And I just want to say this time of giving is a perfect time to give a donation to WBAI, while your tax-deductible contribution can still be applied to 2025. Go to buddy.wbai.org for a monthly contribution, buddy.wbai.org, or for a one-time contribution, give to WBAI.org, G-I-V-E-E, number 2, WBAI.org. And please make the donation in the name of Naturalistic Support. All right.
Join us tomorrow.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Naturalistic Support's look at holiday expectations and disappointments. I'm Arnell Doré, and today I've been joined by Elaine Durbach. Thank you, Elaine.
My pleasure, Arnell.
All right. So, also thanks to Red Johnson at the board and to Hilla Weiss for her support. Tune in again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. on New Year's Eve, when we'll be exploring how to make the most of 2026. Archived editions of our program can be found at WBAI.org. I have to take a sip of something here. I'm about to cough. Also at EqualTimeForFreeThought.org. And stay where you are, because coming right up is the Katie Halpa Show. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 3 for our 2-hour Naturalistic Christmas special. You don't want to miss it. Hi to my foster mom, Marilyn. And remember, always try to be kind, because you never really know what someone else is going through. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride.